Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I'll get to you in a second here, Bob, okay?
Stand by, Phil.
Anyway, welcome to our program. It's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Coming up tonight, Don Berman from Channel 19 News will review the FCC's, or the House of Representatives' latest rulings, proposed legislation that would broaden the FCC's rights to impose fines. We'll also have on tonight Art Bell and General Johnson Jameson. Apparently, General Jameson has seen strange hieroglyphics on the face of the sun. And Norm Duncan returns with his amazing scrotum tightening machine. For those of you who are African American and want to sound more white, why, the scrotum tightening machine for only $29.95 can help you do just that. Bob, you got a special report?
Phil, I'm standing right now, flying just about 300 feet over the Staples Center in Los Angeles right now. The announcement was made today, and people are dancing in the streets. We've had reports across the United States for much of the day. People reveling, people honking their horns, waving out of windows, strangers embracing each other on the streets. The announcement, of course, today that the National Hockey League season has been canceled. I haven't seen this kind of outpouring of joy and relief, just the relief on people's faces. You can just see a loosening of tension, people suddenly shaking each other's hands, kissing, embracing. The pictures after World War II certainly come to mind of strange young ladies just grabbing a soldier in the street and giving him a big kiss. And that's what's happening today as people celebrate. People are exuberant over the fact, no more hockey, no more Canadians drinking and driving. Bob Bakey and reporting.
Okay, so you got it there. The NHL season is over, and remember, Canadians, no drinking and driving. Although you have no reason to be down here now, so goodbye. I'm kidding around. You guys are okay, but your sport is done. Not that anybody cared. Not that anyone noticed, you know. And I say that because I do get a lot of email from our good friends in Canada who are sweet people, and they say, gee, Phil, we really like you up here. How come you hate us? And I say, it's really a childhood thing. My parents were Canadian. It's nothing against you guys. I'm bitter. I'm embittered by many things. And I said, but, you know, still in all, I think it would be great, and here's an idea that probably won't be put into practice, but it's a good idea, I think. American football cannot expand into Canada. Did you know that? It is against Canadian law for American football teams to be in playing football in Canada. You can't do it. Why? Because it protects the Canadian game. They have their own game up there, the Canadian Football League, and they want to protect that league. It also enables Canadian nationals to play in the professional game of football without being completely outclassed and just sort of pushed out of the job market by American players. So they have a Canadian football player quota up there. And it preserves the unique nature of the Canadian game, which is slightly different from our game. It's three downs instead of four, 110-yard field instead of 100, and 12 men aside instead of 11. Other than that, it looks pretty much like the same game. Guys wear helmets, they throw the ball, and they score points. And it's illegal for American football to expand into Canada so they can protect that game. Now, why not make it illegal for Canadian hockey to be played here? In other words, they can't come here and you can't put on skates. No, 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 no. You may not do it. What does that do? I'll tell you what it does. It pushes the sport back up into Canada where they'd much rather have it be. Canadian people are very upset over the dilution of their game. It's in all these American markets that don't care. It's in precious few Canadian markets where they would really care. And they just don't get it. They get excited up there, and we're down here just putting cigarette butts in the Stanley Cup down there at the Anaheim Mall. You remember when the Anaheim Ducks won it? And they had it on display down at a car dealer. They had it at a car parts place. You know, it was like at Lou's Garage. Come on down, and you can see the Stanley Cup and have your points and plugs changed. All for $29.95. So you go down there, and a guy's like, you go and you look, somebody peed in it. It's terrible. And so they had to get it out of there. Guy's butting cigars in it. Can I just throw my trash in here? Yeah, it's the Stanley Cup. I guess it doesn't matter. Okay, thank you. Like an old lady walking by, and she doesn't, oh, I don't know what to do with this. I had a little bit of bile drip. Can I just put, yeah, go ahead, throw it in there. Some lady with a Starbucks. Some old grandma, you know, she's got a tuna fish sandwich. Oh, I don't know what to do with my rat. Oh, here's a waste paper basket here. And she pitches it into the Stanley Cup, which is like 150 million years old. It's an august thing. And the Canadian people love it, and they respect it, and they cherish it. We don't. Never have, never will. And it's a disgrace to have that thing down here parked at Lou's Garage or down there at Cal Worthington. Come on down to Cal Worthington. You can see the damn Stanley Cup, too, huh? And my dog Spot, man, just took a little bit of a oil. Look at that. Rinse it out. That's the kind of thing Cal Worthington would say. Come on down and see the Stanley Cup and our new $900 Dodges that we have on display. Nothing against Cal. I'd do the same thing. So that's just my thing, bud.
Yeah, it's great. Let's move on.
Okay. 1-800-449-8686. So later on tonight, we will have Art Bell and General Johnson Jameson, hieroglyphics as seen on the sun now. And we will also be talking with Norm Duncan with the so-called scrotum tightening machine. I don't know how much of that kind of language I can use because the FCC has been empowered by the Federal Communications. The FCC has been empowered by the House of Representatives, not yet law, to expand its enforcement ability today. Now, I know that this is something that most people listening right now, 99% of the people listening to me right now, don't really know what it is that I'm talking about. You don't really know the import of this. You don't know how significant this is. You think it just affects me. But it doesn't. It affects you. It will affect in the future cell phone communication. It will affect in the future your ability to transmit messages on the internet privately. The FCC will feel it has the right to regulate those. And if you care about that kind of thing, you may not. Now, what's happened is this, because I got a call today from, well, I won't mention who, but let's just say someone who controls my employment saying, well, we got to watch it because they now have passed a law saying that anybody can write a letter and they'll fine you first and then investigate you later. That's what the law is proposing. Fine the air talent first and then investigate them later. And that means that the enforcement is proposed to expand. Now, Don Berman's going to be on later on to talk about this from the Channel 19 newsroom. And I wish I could give a speech about this. I'm going to be at the Radio and Records Talk Seminar, and maybe I'll just say it there, but, man, this sucks. So, Don will be on to talk about that and the possibility that because any one person writing a letter can literally get a guy to lose his job. Because you got to understand something. Radio broadcasters and television broadcasters today have never been more gutless. As I've said to you before, the industry has never been in worse hands than it is now. The broadcast industry has never had a more gutless collection of broadcast managers, owners, executives, and programmers than it has right now. And as a result, what that means is guys are going to lose their job. Even if it isn't legally proven that what the person did was wrong, they're going to get fired in anticipation of maybe an FCC fine. So before the FCC even gets complained to, you will have this cadre of broadcast executives who will fire people and put them on the street. Don Berman's going to be on our show tonight to talk about the possibility that those fired individuals will then try to find the person that wrote the letter. And did you ever see Cape Fear, where the guy cut the phone lines and, like, raped the... So when you complain to the FCC, remember that your name becomes public record. And the air talent that you put out of work, he might come looking for you. Oh, yeah. That's right, old lady. No, I mean, well, that's what he's going to say anyway. So that's coming up tonight on our show on the channel, on the Phil Hendry Show. Don Berman from the Channel 19 News. Yeah, so that's pretty sick, huh, bud? So you can, just anybody can lose their gig.
What's the FCC fine going to be?
The FCC fine is that if they find that you've been indecent, they will flay you alive in a basement with your hands tied to a ceiling hook. And then your wife and daughter will be beaten in front of you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you want to watch your language on the air. All right, we have a listener flashback by request coming up tonight. Art Bell, General Johnson Jameson, Norm Duncan, and, of course, Don Berman from the Channel 19 Newsroom. Ahead on the all-wonderful, all-important, all-new, improved Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, this is just a good time to be screwing around down here. You know, we took on the Iraqis, we took on Al-Qaeda, and we have put a knife right through the heart of hockey. You want to screw with us, watch what happens, baby. You Canadians opened your big fat mouths, well, guess what? Now we just stuck a dagger right into the gut of hockey. If hockey were a baby, a dead baby in a pickup truck, we'd have thrust a pitchfork into it.
We'd have thrust a pitchfork into it.
This is, you know, look, post 9/11, baby. The Yanks are not in a good mood. We're kicking ass over there. We're kicking ass over here. We went down there and kicked ass. We went down over there. And you know what? Hockey was a casualty, baby. A casualty of the ever pissed off mood of the Yanks. You guys wanted to give us your game, huh? Well, guess what? We don't like it. And not that we don't like hockey. We like hockey. But because we're in such a foul temper, we decided to just go, oh, really? You're hockey, huh? What if hockey was a little baby? Hi, I'm hockey. Really? Great. Here's an electric knife to play with. Bye. If hockey were a child, America would leave Clorox under the sink while it crawled around on the kitchen floor. If hockey were a little tiny baby sitting near a wall socket, America would give it a metal knife to play with.
Quit being so violent.
Oh, quit it. Don't you know this is how I let off steam?
Very violent.
Jesus, what a baby.
Don't like it. Do the flashback.
Yes, sir. Dear Phil, here's our flashback request from Lynn Wolf, one of the more chronic emailers. I get about six a day from Lynn. He says, Dear Phil, I am a subscriber and never miss your highlights. By the way, we appreciate you doing that, Lynn. I'm a subscriber. I never miss your highlights. I would love to hear Paul Tubby Lane talk about racing and sharing man-to-man time with his NASCAR heroes, two heterosexual men holding one another, discussing the finer points of racing. This is an old one, and as I remember, it was pretty bizarre, but I'm glad you're requesting it, Lynn. Lynn goes on to say, my wife says that you're deranged and that she doesn't like listening to you because it has an adverse effect on our relationship, but she's always laughing. I'll send you some semi-nude pictures of her if you'd like. Gee, okay, Lynn, sure, thanks. Wow. I'll tell you what, I'll trade you some. Me nude for her? I'm just kidding. All right, she says I'm a cross. She says Lynn, her husband's a cross between Vernon. Oh, who cares what she says? Okay, Lynn, here it is. The flashback. It's whoever the hell you said it was. Paul Tubby Lane. And just spending the night in a hotel room with his NASCAR heroes. It's just not adding up.
Well, then you just don't know what NASCAR is all about.
I thought it was going to the track and watching the race.
No. That's just part of it. NASCAR is about much, much more. You can't just go to the race. You got to get inside the head of the driver. He needs to get inside your head. Spend time as much as you can. Go places together. That's what we're trying to do. There's no connection at all right now between the fan and the driver. And there used to be a NASCAR. It used to be a wonderful time when.
Well, I mean, I've heard Richard Petty say he used to sit on the hood of his car and sign autographs.
Yeah, you don't have that anymore. The fan and the driver are completely separated and don't have no connection no more. What I'd like to do is get them together. Have drinks together, share a walk on the beach. Then there's a great place they can have some, and again, I guess you're going to make fun of this, but there's a place they can go dancing or...
Well, I don't understand how two guys that are talking about stock car racing are going to go dancing.
No, they'll dance if they want to just go and dance alone and talk to the other guy.
How does that work?
To give an example, now again, you want to interject something homoerotic.
No, I just want to know, how does it work? Two straight guys who are NASCAR fans, one of them's a driver, one of them's a fan, and they go to a dance place. They're not dancing with each other.
No, they are not.
So how are they communicating?
What they do is, if they get a table close enough to the dance floor, one guy will get up and dance and keep talking to the other guy while the other guy's sitting there having a drink.
And they'll talk that way?
Yes, sir. What seems to be the problem? Again, talk to your average NASCAR fan. They understand this. That's why at the end of the night, when the NASCAR driver and the fan get together, they'll hug. But you want to put everything sexual on it, and it's not.
At the end of the night, they'll hug.
Yeah, they will. Sometimes, for instance, if they will spend the night in the hotel room, then they'll one of them will fall asleep on the couch, and the driver will get in behind, and just as friends do, just as a friend would. That's what friends want to know about the drivers, or the regular guys. When a fan lays his head on a driver's shoulder, they can really communicate on a different level about the sport. They're sitting there. One may fall asleep with his head on the other's shoulder. No other sport in America allows the fan to have this kind of interaction with their favorite stars.
Laying on a couch, taking a nap together.
And I guess you think that's gay. You know something, Mr. Henry?
No, man. Not at all.
You know something? I was told that your program did a serious discussion. That
yeah, we do, man, but it's...
Look, what's wrong to share a breath with another man? Nothing wrong with that. And then, when they wake up, go into the bathroom, shower together, it's really great.
All right, well, listen, you NASCAR fans out there, if you'd like to have dinner with and shower with your favorite driver, but you have to be a man, this is not open to women.
No, sir, it is not. We don't want any women around bothering us and asking the stupidest questions in the world. And, you know, how come your car's painted like that? Now, Jesus H, just get out of here. Let us sit down and talk racing one-on-one with our arms around each other. And again, NASCAR fans are so intent on talking about racing, you don't want to lose a minute. That's why they shower together.
So they get into the shower together, but that's not sexual either.
No, sir, it's not. No, it is not.
So two men nude in the shower in a hotel room, but they're talking racing.
That is exactly right. And if you try to make it something gay, I'll sue you, because this is a very legitimate promotion. One of the other things, again, the fan will rub some lotion on the driver's back before a race, help put on his flame-retardant suit. That kind of thing. And it's very, very healthy.
Yeah. And if you try to make it gay, I'll sue you. That's a great promotion. That's a flashback requested by Lynn Wolf, and it's an old one. It goes back about 3 years, I think. 3-4 years. It was Paul Tubby Lane, a character that we haven't done in a while. We haven't heard from Paul. He's a NASCAR guy. But NASCAR is starting this weekend, so we'll be hearing from him. And I think we're also going to bring back Bud. Aren't you going to do your...
Yeah, we're going to do Radical Accidents. Bud's Radical Accidents.
Great. Bud's Radical Accidents. So every automobile accident, every accident on the racetrack where a car is shredded into 9 million pieces and a man's body goes flying across the concrete, you'll talk about with great excitement and exuberation.
Uh-huh.
No, that's just swell. You know, that's really hysterical. It's not hysterical. I mean, look, you go to the races, and I've been going to races since I was a kid. Now, my old man wasn't a NASCAR fan. He was a Formula One guy. And if you know what Formula One is, Bud?
No.
It's the one with the big open wheels.
Oh, that's what the English people do.
Yeah, the English people. And it's like IndyCar, too. But the fact is, you go to see a race because you want to see it, you know, the guys go fast, but people dig it when they wreck. And so they've made the cars wreckable. And the drivers, more often than not, now walk away from these. And when I say they make the cars wreckable, not because they want to see bitchin' accidents, but they want to help the drivers to survive.
Well, what do you mean?
You know, I'm not even talking to you, man. What do you think? This is some two-man show or something? Get out of here, will you? Go get me another one of them Starbucks.
You hate Starbucks. You already told me about it.
I'm addicted to it, man. They stick more caffeine in it. So anyway, the cars are made today to disintegrate. And the cockpit, if you will, the cage that the driver sits in, is this self-contained little unit that he's protected in. So even if the wheels fall off, the engine falls off, and the whole car falls apart...
He can still race it.
No, he can't still race it. How can he still race it?
Because you said it's made to he not get hurt.
It's made to he not get hurt. How can he still race it?
Because if everything falls apart, he's still alive.
What's he doing, man? He driving down the street on a freaking cage, rolling along on the cement? What is he, Fred Flintstone with his feet?
That's a good idea.
All right, so anyway, so that's, we're going to have that jackass who I was just talking to who's going to go get me Starbucks before I kick his ass out the door. Right? We'll have Bud's Radical NASCAR Accidents. Oh, by the way, I've been saying the A word, and I forgot. I'm not supposed to use that anymore as per FCC regulations. So kiss that word goodbye. Kiss the A... goodbye. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, Norm Duncan, and he'll be talking with us about being an African-American and trying to make reservations for, you know, a hotel room. And when they hear that you are a black, a lot of hotels will say, oh, we're full up. So he invented a machine to help him, and he's got a new one called the Cabo-matic. We'll talk to him in a minute.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I want to bring on Norm Duncan before I... Norm, it's good to have you back on the program. You were on our show 2 years ago when you introduced the scrotum tightener, and it's done done good business, hasn't it?
Phil, the scrotum tightener has done very, very well, and we're very grateful to Ronco and to the people who produced our infomercial, Jelco International, and also to the great many people who have supported us on air, people who have promoted us on air, and we're very excited that Denise Austin was one of our early proponents.
Tell me about this machine. You thought about it when you were unable to get a hotel reservation, is that right?
That is correct. What happened originally, Phil, I was traveling through the state of Florida, as a matter of fact, and I was endeavoring to get a hotel reservation in the Fort Lauderdale area, and I called, and I was told that they were sold out. They were full up. I am an African-American, and I did not believe them for whatever reason, and I thought that, you know, if I had a white-sounding voice, maybe I'd be able to get a hotel reservation. It was then that I thought of the scrotum tightening machine.
Now, this, I don't want to get too graphic, but what it does is it basically squeezes a certain part of the anatomy.
I can demonstrate it for you right now if you want.
Okay. I mean, you did once before, but go ahead.
All right. You clamp it on, and I will turn it on right now. And you will hear my voice change into one that is similar to an Anglo-American voice. Let me just... And you will hear my voice now. I'm going to tighten it up a little bit.
And you can hear how I sound right now. And so I called. When I turn on the scrotum tightener, I call up, hi, I want a hotel reservation. And they go, right away, sir. And they'll say, what's that noise in the background? So I'm just blending a margarita. Oh, okay. And then I just turn it down, and, I'm back to my normal voice, see?
Does that injure the body at all?
No, it's totally safe, Phil. It's 100% safe. And we have sold some... I don't know, in the last 2 years we've sold about 3 million to African-American men all over.
Is this a tough problem, getting they hear a black voice?
You don't know. You don't know whether or not they're telling you they're full up because you're black. You don't know whether or not they're telling you they're full up because they really are. But I found that when I use the scrotum tightener, I have a 50% more likelihood to get a hotel room. And that's why I came up with the Cabo-matic.
Now, what is the Cabo-matic?
All right, the Cabo-matic is a device that when strategically placed, shall we say, on the human body, you can make dinner theater reservations because you'll sound old. Now,
why would you want to do that?
I don't know. I got thinking, well, you know, what if I want to make dinner theater reservations? Like, oh, hello, I'd like to make dinner theater reservations, see Burt Reynolds in, The Odd Couple or something at the Jupiter Theater or something like that. Oh, well, you know, sir, we're sold out. I'm thinking, well, yeah, because I'm a black man. Now I'll come up with a Cabo-matic. Now listen to what the Cabo-matic can do. And we're going to be selling this, by the way, Phil. We have an infomercial that's going to be coming out. And check your local listings for it. It's a half-hour program. We're going to have some exciting people. Cher is going to be on with us. George Michael is going to be on with us.
George Michael and Cher help you sell the Cabo-matic?
That's correct. Now, here's the Cabo-matic. And what it does is the Cabo-matic will, and I don't want to be graphic, but you can well imagine.
Can I get 2 tickets for the 8 o'clock show?
Okay, I just turned it off. Jesus.
Dude. That's pretty wild. Do you sell a lot of those?
Not as many as the scrotum device, but I'm trying to think of different things I can do with that. But it's all intended for the African-American who is, you know, having a difficult time negotiating business on the phone and cannot put his finger on the fact that he's being discriminated against. It just so happens that when he calls, you know, well, you know, we're sold out, this kind of thing.
I like the scrotum tightener. I don't know about the Cob-O-Matic, dude. I don't know if there's going to be a big...
Well, you know, there are a lot of black people, who, elderly black people who want to get dinner, you know, dinner theater reservations.
Dinner theater? Dude, that's kind of funky, ain't it?
Well, you know, I don't know. Yeah, I suppose you want to get an early bird. You know, you just turn on the Cob-O-Matic and go,
get you have reservations for the 8 o'clock.
See?
Okay, dude. Well, listen, Norm, always good talking with you, and the best of luck to you. And
Phil, just a little special. I just want to say thank you for having me on your program, Mr. Henry. It's been really great.
Norm Duncan, he's an inventor, and that's his latest, the Cob-O-Matic. Just in case you want to make dinner theater reservations?
I want to get that.
Okay, bud, thank you. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show coming up tonight. Don Berman from the Channel 19 newsroom, and also Art Bell and General Johnson Jameson, another hieroglyphic mystery that you can help us solve here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Go ahead, man.
Just what I was telling your screener, that's what gets me through the day, you know.
But you're a bus driver, right?
Yeah, I'm a bus driver. I've driven a bus for 25 years, you know.
You drive a school bus, right? What is your name?
My name is Roger.
How are you doing, Roger? I'm Phil.
How do you do? I know. I listen to your program. I enjoy it a lot.
Well, thank you. But you need to tell my audience, we're on the air now, that driving a school bus is something you don't like?
No, I don't particularly enjoy it. And I'll tell you why I don't. I don't particularly enjoy the abuse that I've taken at the hands of these children. And that's why I have done the things that I've done. I'm not proud of it, you know.
Well, what you've used what?
I've carried a taser on the bus. I admit that.
A taser?
Yes, sir. Okay. And a bourbon. I always have my bourbon.
You're a school bus driver, and you carry bourbon and a taser.
Yes, I do.
Aren't you afraid you're going to get caught and you're going to be fired?
I don't really care at this particular junction in my life. I don't really care. I'm prepared for anything.
Are you suicidal?
If I was to commit suicide, I would do it in a very... I think I want to get on television. I know that I want to do that.
Well, what do you mean? If you were to commit suicide, what?
If I were going to commit suicide, I'd do it very publicly. I saw a man on the Channel 5 news not more than 5 years ago, and he had a shotgun, and he shot the top of his head right off on the Marina Freeway right over here.
I remember that. Yeah, it was gruesome.
I would like to do that.
You'd like to do that?
I would, yeah.
Why'd you call me, man?
Because I wanted to tell someone about this. I wanted to let somebody know that I've taken great joy and pleasure over the last 25 years carrying a taser on that bus. And I will continue to do that so long as those children use me as a target of their ridicule.
So how do you tase these kids? What kind of a taser is it?
It's a taser. It's a small handheld taser. And when they're getting off, I'll reach over and I'll give them a zap, usually on the back of a leg or something, and I'll say, don't you worry about it. You ever try that with me again.
The kids get back on the bus with you the next day?
They have no choice. They have no choice.
And they don't tell their parents?
I don't care if they do. It doesn't matter to me.
All right, so let's recap here, sir. You're driving drunk. You carry a taser. And that's how you get through the day.
That's how I get through the day. That's right. Yes, sir.
Are you happy?
Now, would I be happy if I talked about very publicly killing myself on a freeway? I don't think I am. I don't think I'm very happy at all. No, I'm not.
Well, why don't you...
I just called to say goodbye. I'm saying goodbye to you and to all the people, and you've given me a great deal of pleasure.
Okay, I mean, you're going to kill yourself.
I think I'd like to. That would be a very... I think I would like to do that. Yes, sir.
Okay, 20 years, you carry a taser, and you drink and drive on the bus, and now you're going to kill yourself.
Yes, that's right. And I do not appreciate anyone trying to stop me or any of that kind of emotional nonsense. I'm not going to. I'm just going to kill myself.
I thought this is a comedy show.
Excuse me for just a moment, okay?
Yes, sir.
Why don't you shut up?
I thought it's a comedy show.
Why don't you shut up? I'm talking to a guy. Are you there, sir?
I'm right here, yo.
I just had to talk to an idiot that works for me.
I know how that is. I've got a lot of idiots that work around me and for me and under me and over me and everything. I'm not the least a bit do I care. I don't care about any of them. Baba Booey.
Did you know he was going to do that?
I don't know, but why'd you waste time with him? He's obviously a crank caller.
Well, then why'd you play that horn?
What horn?
This one.
I don't know.
I'll bet you anything it was that R.C. Collins punk doing a voice. 1-800-449-8686. If I find out it was, there'll be problems. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We'll be talking with Don Berman from the Channel 19 News Center about a report they're doing on the FCC and indecency fines. And if you complain, if, say, you write a letter to the FCC complaining about a certain air talent or air personality, you know that your name becomes public record. And what keeps that air talent from getting a hold of your name, finding out where you live, and... who knows? I mean, if a guy gets fired because of a letter that a listener or a viewer wrote, some of these people, according to Don, are very unstable. Well, you can guess what we're going to be talking about coming up after the top of the hour here on the Phil Hendry Show. And also Art Bell, along with General Johnson Jameson. General Jameson, along with Igor, have been staring at the sun with their microscope, something that I learned as a 2-year-old you're not supposed to do. But there's General Jameson staring directly into the sun with his particle destroyer microscope, or whatever he calls it, along with his hunchback assistant, and they're seeing things. Well, no kidding. When your retina is burned to a crisp, I'll bet you see things. In your mind's eye, you see things. Here's some email. And a lot of it's been very nice about the pilot. You know, if you go to our website, which is www.philhendryshow.com, we put our NBC pilot up there. And every now and again, every day, we're getting email from people saying, it sucked, it was good, it sucked, it was good. Here's one that said it was good. In fact, a lot of them say it's good. And this guy says, I just watched Phil at the Gate and thought it was pretty good. A lot better than half the, and then he says a dirty word, bud, NBC has put on. I think the characters and writing would have evolved into a great show. Stop being so hard on your work, Tim. And it's a good, thank you, Tim, but it's like I don't want to be graded on the curve. You know, in other words, compared to the other mule dung they put on there, it's pretty good. And it's a very nice thing to say, and I suppose, I'll tell you this much, when that show was, when we did that pilot, it was the same season they picked up Whoopi and the John Larroquette show. So you're right. I mean, our show held up very well compared to those two shows. But here's the funny thing. Funny, haha, or funny, weird. The year before, if we had been under consideration the year before, we probably would have gotten on the air, because the year before, they put on a show called Hidden Hills and another one called The In-Laws, which was a direct lift of Meet the Parents, both of which were so not funny that you wanted to weep. You wanted to drop to one knee and weep like you just gave up a gopher ball to Jose Canseco and his freaking weird steroid-struck jaw. That's how lousy that stuff was. But who knows? You know, who knows? NBC's the pretty network. That's the Friends network. You going to put my face on it? I don't think so. Anyway, thank you for that. Very nice of you, sir. Phil, and this is from a guy by the name of Dan. He says, I design electronic circuit boards. I listen to your show via Backstage Pass exclusively while doing it for the last year or so. And it seems that every time I make a new electronic circuit board, I use one of the show characters as an internal code name for the board. We have the Bozell, which is a USB controller for a keyboard. The Bobby D is a controller for a LCD panel, etc. The Bud card is the best because it looks all deformed.
Really?
You don't get what the guy's saying. It's a put-down.
No, he named a panel after me.
Just thought you'd like to know that you're influencing things on a microscopic level. Ha ha. Dan. How about that, bud? They named some kind of a circuit board after you. If you'd like to email us, phs@philhenryshow.com. I do answer our Backstage Pass emails personally, but you got to give me a couple of weeks because I'm like a week behind on doing those. And as soon as we get Michelle up to speed producing the show, then I can get back to the business of being a sane human being again. I've been like up to my rear end in work here, man. I'm answering emails and not doing anything else. Trying to write bits and...
And doing a very bad job.
Thank you very much for that. Doing a very bad job doing it. And coming up, we'll hear how bad this one is. Don Berman from the Channel 19 News Center doing a bad job, huh?
Bro.
Don Berman from the Channel 19 News Center on the recent FCC rulings. What if you write a letter to the FCC complaining about a show and that radio personality is fired? Can you protect yourself from that person finding your name and address and coming to your house and hurting you? 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.